Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. All right. We might just get just a touch more house lights so people can read from their leather-bound books and write in their leather-bound things. All right, do you have everything with you? You good? I've got my Bible, I've got my iPad, I've got my blue paper, I've got my pink paper, and I've got two glue sticks. So I'm ready if you're ready. Come on. Well, we're going to talk about sex tonight. Do I cheer? Do I stay silent? I wonder if the PM will do better than the AM in this one. Who here has a sex drive?
Yes.
Okay, much better. All right. Still like a good... Benji's not sure. He's thinking about it. But I love doing that. It's like half the church is like, it's a trap. You know... The culture is trying to hijack what it didn't create. Culture, media, movies, really the enemy, because sometimes we like to pin things up and be like, you know, this department or this political, but really it's the enemy. It's trying to steal back something that is awesome, something that is holy, something that's really fun. but it's true, man. Like, God created this thing, and I don't know about you, but we've got a couple of issues in the Christian landscape, clearly, because it's never going to be perfect. But man, we, according to Barnum studies, that's a stats group in America, very high percentage of Christians are addicted to pornography. You just have to turn the news on to see Christian leader after Christian leader fall, which will always happen because they're humans. But I think maybe we need to teach on this more. I think maybe we need to get a godly perspective from a young age. You know, when I was growing up, I've just got a lot of tin, Brett. I don't know what's going on there, but I have ADD, so it will distract me. When I was growing up, not from my parents, but in some church settings and some youth ministry settings, this was the entire teaching around sex and sexuality. Don't have sex. Don't touch your genitals. That was it. And then we had pizza. And then we went home. And we were all, you know, I'm not having a go. I'm being broad brushstroke, of course. People doing their best. And, you know, I had a good upbringing at home in this area. But you hear what I'm saying, right? It was, you know, don't do it. It's not a good why. And you're 13 and you're at youth and you're like, yeah. Yeah, I won't. That was a dude's voice, because 13. But joking aside, that why doesn't hold up. See what happens when you see a naked body for the first time and feel things? What happens when you see a sexually stimulating video? What happens when you and your friends experiment together? What happens when you start having feelings for someone who's of the same gender? What happens when your first sexual experience was not wanted or consensual? What happens when you're pressurized into watching things you don't want to watch? What happens when your perspective gets perverted? You see, we'll have a little bit of fun tonight, but you need to understand we can joke about sex and we don't have to be all somber, but sex has hurt many people in this room, because it was removed out of the biblical container God has for it. And maybe not by your choice. And so we as believers, we as Christians, have to understand that God put these boundaries in place not to be a killjoy. He invented it. He invented it. How funny is it with like, God doesn't want me to have fun? It's like saying Cadbury doesn't want you to eat chocolate. Like, but we've got to put it in its right place. Thank you so much, Stephen. You can go. Appreciate you. So, The billboard of what not to do gives us zero context, heartbeat, and perspective on what to do. So let's go through a couple of points tonight, and I promise I'm going to read some Bible soon because the text is the hero. But my first point is this: God created sex, and he said, it is good. Because he said, it is good after he created everything. I love it, man. We don't have time to go into all my thoughts around it, but, you know, just Adam hanging out by himself, nude in the garden, eating a pear. Don't picture it. We don't want to lust. We don't want to sin. You have to poke your eye out. But he's hanging out in the garden. He's hanging out walking with God in the cool of the day, jumping off waterfalls. I like to imagine that he was riding lions around and stuff. And he just had it made in the shade, man. Like, it was good. And then God was like, it's not good for you to be alone. Now, track with me. I'm not trying to be crass. Can you imagine the first time God told him what was going to happen? So you're going to go to sleep and I'm going to fashion a woman from your side. I'm going to fashion you a rib, okay? And then you guys are going to hang out and walk around and run around together in the nutty. It's going to be great. Okay. Then, to be intimate, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Sorry, what? God knew it was a form of intimacy. It's the language of love in a marriage. And it is the way that we reproduce. These are the things that sex is for. Praise God. He got so quiet. Genesis 1:8 says this: Then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. God tells you to be fruitful and multiply. And he's not talking about your bank account. It is biblical for you to go and get married and then do what married people do. And then multiply and have kids, have family. We talk a lot at this church about family. That's what it's based around. I loved hearing Scott Morrison last night in his concession speech say, family is the thing that will build this nation forward. That's how we have family. That's the starting point. Be fruitful and multiply. Then we've got a blueprint for this. Mark 10:6-8. If you've got your Bible, turn there with me. If you don't have your Bible, we'll see you with it next week. If you don't have a Bible, Coorong's got a 20% off sale right now. Mark 10:6-8. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. We can camp there just for 1 second. You're not allowed to get mad at me because you can get mad at Mark because it says, the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. I want to propose to you that God didn't forget 71 genders when he created them male and female. I don't say that to be disparaging for anyone going through anything or anyone confused in their mind or anyone on a journey. God is a God of kindness. His kindness leads us to repentance. But you would be shocked at how many churches seem to be a bit unsure on that verse. There's two genders. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. What's that called? Marriage. Amen. And then the two will become one flesh. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. It's no real deep theological point. I just wanted you to know that family is God's design. And sexual intimacy between a husband and wife is part of that design. Yeah. I'm not trying to babble you. I know you know that. But sometimes it's good just to remind ourselves. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is God's idea. This is not the culture's. Hollywood doesn't own sexuality. God does. Point number two, sex is not just a connection, it's a covenant. Sex is not just a connection, it is a covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, sacrifice always preceded covenant, and a covenant always required bloodshed. Now, we're going to get a bit PG-13 for a second. But in the olden days, and I'm so, so glad we don't do this anymore, the consummation of a marriage was proven when the husband and wife would be intimate, and when a husband and a wife are intimate for the first time, there's something called the hymen. This isn't even a sermon, this is biology, that breaks, and often there's a slight spilling of blood. And then this is the part that freaks me out. They would then go and prove it with the sheets. to their family who were waiting outside. You think you've been through stuff. Hey, guys, we did it. Well done, mate. Really good. Don't lose my point, though. My point, though, is that there is that the reason that there is that biological design is because God sees sex as a covenant between a man and a woman. Now, just quickly, if you're in this place and you've done things that you're not proud of or whatever, whatever, you do not understand the redemptive depth and breadth of the ocean of grace that God has for you. So I don't want anyone to feel guilt or shame or condemnation. But this is the intended plan. We see in Hebrews 10:12, if you want to turn with your Bibles there as well, it says, "But our high priest Jesus offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand." A covenant between a husband and wife is not just like a nice idea. It is like a picture of what Jesus did for us. This is nuts. So really, when we are being sexually intimate, because it's not just a connection, it's a covenant, it's us saying, "I do." That's a terrifying thought. Because we got people, and if I can be blunt, Christians, saying, "I do," all over the place with a different person every week. And also, if you've never done anything physical, but you're on those websites, Jesus knows, and he got you because he said, if you even think on this, you've committed it in your heart. It's the same thing. Yeah. Which is a huge bummer for me, because physically I kept myself for Anna, despite the hundreds and hundreds of offers flowing in. I don't understand the laughter. But I was addicted to porn for 5-6 years. So I've said "I do" to hundreds and hundreds of people because I lusted in my heart. Now, don't stress. I mean, maybe stress a little bit, but don't stress, because there is redemption. God is so good. But our goal, and I know that our senior pastor's goal, is not for you to have to go through a storm and then rebuild. It's for you to just not go through a storm. Banning often like flies around. He's from Jesus culture, and he kind of is like, everyone, he gets like, it's funny, but he gets indignant. He's like, everyone loves the rock and roll testimony, and oh, this happened, and I slept with 757 people, and that was Solomon. And then I did this, and I did that, and this happened, and then God redeemed me. We're like, yeah! But Banning's like, then I go to a stadium with 10,000 people, and I'm like, and because of my good parents and self-discipline, I never walked away, and I never went through things. And everyone's like, that's boring, though. Banning's like, that's not boring, that's the goal. So now, of course, you know, if you've been through stuff, we want to hear your story, and testimony is powerful. But actually, our goal for you is not to have to go through stuff. Not to have to go through stuff. All right, darling, if you could come up here quickly and help me out, that'd be great. So what happens is, we're going to do a scenario, okay? Thank you. You look lovely this evening. Hey, just be careful, babe. It's have to be reverent, because talking about sex. All right. That was a joke. So we got two people. The blue paper's a boy. The pink paper's a girl. Because remember, in Mark, there's two genders. And also, I don't have 72 different colours. So we'll do a different one than this morning. We'll do a young man from the Sunshine Coast. He doesn't wear shoes. And his name is Bartholomew. He's a little bit unsure on the Western Church. I need to be careful how naughty I get. But he does love God. He's got a good heart. And he is going to start dating. It's Penelope this morning. Who do you think? Edwina. Okay. No. That makes her sound 70. He's going to start dating Bartholomew and Ruth. He's going to start dating Ruth. And they're in church together. Is there a Ruth here? Oh, praise God. So they're at church, and they're serving in a church on the sunny coast. Let's say it's John O'Gulo's. Let's say it's John O'Gulo's church. We love John O'Gulo. He's a friend of our house. And so they love God. This isn't like a setup. They're good people, right? They start dating, and Bartholomew, he's not going to do anything much, but, you know, they're just, we can get real tonight. They're making out. That's all right? Need more glue stick. They're making out, doing their thing. He starts grabbing stuff he shouldn't. It's fine. We're not going to have sex. We're not going to go too far, you know. And then, what was her name? Ruth. Ruth's not too keen on this whole thing, but she really is finding a lot of worth and value in Bartholomew. And so she thinks, if I don't sort of, you know, give him a little bit of something, he's not going to be interested or stay interested. And it, you know, it does feel good. So we're just going to keep doing stuff. And then it keeps going on. He's doing well at the church. John Agula obviously does not know about this. And so they're doing stuff. And then one night, they're about 6 months in. They are watching Netflix and doing stuff, and things go a bit too far. And it's, you know, they feel a bit of shame, but they're going to get married anyway, and I'm sure it's going to be okay. And they decide that they need to tell the leadership of Suncoast Church. And so, as usually what happens, not to broad brushstroke, but Ruth is like, we're going to go talk to the pastors. and Bartholomew's not keen, but she puts her foot down and says, we're going. And so he goes, fine. So they sit down with Pastor Jono. And he's, of course, full of grace and love and truth. And you're amazing. And Ruth decides that she actually doesn't want to be in this relationship anymore because she thought she was dating a Christian man who would lead the way, not lead, you know, with what he wants and out of selfishness, sorry. And so that's because, gentlemen, it takes two to tango, but lads, we can actually lead and we can actually make a stand. It shouldn't always be the woman going, that's enough, let's not do it. Actually, men, we can make a stand. So what happens is, and it's all very amicable. Jono handles it like the veteran he is. They both stay in the church. A month or so later, Ruth can't stop thinking about Bartholomew, and Bartholomew can't stop thinking about Ruth and what happened together. And so it becomes this like quite hard situation, but they're both doing well. They're both at church. And then what happens is they're trying to break up and they're trying to separate and they're wondering why it's so hard. And so They have separated. I've got glue all over my hands now. They have separated, but it's really hard to separate because sex isn't a connection. Sex is a covenant. And so they're trying to separate, but what happens is bits of their soul are all entwined. You see, you thought you were just having some fun. You thought it was just a website. You thought because it wasn't full intercourse, it was all right, but you didn't realize that your soul was getting entangled. I'm not trying to be alarmist. I'm not trying to be shocking. This is what happens. It says in the Word of God that sex is the only sin that sins against its own body. God forgives and forgets, but your body remembers. Now, don't worry. They're not going to stay like this because they've submitted themselves to the Word. They've got Pastor Rob was actually preaching at Suncoast, called them both out separately, prophesied over them. It was powerful. God is good. He restored. He's the restorer of their souls. See you guys. And thank you, babe, so much. So give Ruth and Bartholomew a hand. Praise God. Sex is glue. Sexual connection is glue. This is powerful stuff. This feels a bit old school. It is. And it's true. Everyone in this place would either have been affected by or affected someone by or be sitting in the passenger seat to someone that's been affected by when sex is taken out of its right context. Mark 10:6-9, I read you verses 6-8, but now I'm going to add verse 9. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, someone say therefore.
Therefore.
What God has joined together, let no one separate. The reason we have so many scars on our soul is we have connected and separated with way too many things way too many times. It leaves damage, and we don't want you to be damaged. If someone could come up on the keys, that'd be amazing. We complicate what is honestly very simple. So what we do is, and especially as young adults, we, instead of going, how can I stay pure? And I'm not talking about that unhealthy purity where everyone's fearful and terrible and sex is bad. I'm talking about that healthy, no, I've got a sex drive and that's good and I'm going to outwork that one day in the right way and it's going to be awesome. But until I have that outlet, that godly outlet, I'm in control and I'm an adult, so I'm going to act in the right way. So But what we do is we start dipping our toe in the pool of questioning, trying to find a workaround. Well, what about porn? Well, can I masturbate without porn? Does oral sex count as sex? I'm going to marry her anyway. Heterosexual sex is old school. I'll just sleep around and then repent because there's that ocean that Fred was talking about. Hey, don't complicate it. Sex is for a husband and a wife. Yeah. I know I wasn't going to get rousing applause, but it is. If you're in this place and you've done things you're not proud of, like I did, according to Jesus, I've had hundreds and thousands of affairs. Let's process that. I don't think I'm better than anyone. None of us should think we're better than each other. We all need the grace of God. But we can't get away from teaching this stuff because it's gonna upset some souls, because it should. The Apostle Paul said that the teaching of the word is good for proclaiming, correcting, warning, and bringing us to full maturity in Christ. And that's what we want, isn't it? But I'll say it again and I'll keep saying it. If you've done stuff you're not proud of, there is grace, there is forgiveness, there is a fresh start. You want God's results, you have to abide by God's rules. Tozer said this, when the church calls obedience legalism, she will be at the height of her heresy. It is not legalism to put boundaries in place. It is not legalism to live above how you feel. It's obedience. It shouldn't really be about what a pastor or a leader or even a mum or a dad tell you, even though listen to all that. It's about what the Holy Spirit tells you. Oh, well, I don't feel convicted. I've heard that this a few times. Yeah, oh, I don't feel convicted when we do that because your conscience is seared. Because you've done so things so many times that the bar keeps moving. The first time you kissed with a bit of tongue, it caused, but now you've pushed that line. Don't let that be the measuring stick. Don't let familiarity with sin be your measuring stick for what's okay. Let the word of God and what the Holy Ghost convicts you in be your measuring stick. You know, I checked with Craig and Jazz that I could share this, but Craig honestly has, and it's a new person, right? Galatians 2:20, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Craig has openly, you shared about this, he had many sexual partners in his past life. Like, many. And on his wedding night, we were on the floor of the Smith's house on the bottom floor playing Mario Kart together. It was very spiritual, Jazz. And I thought, I probably should just check in. I said, hey, are you feeling all right about tomorrow? Like, you know, the sexual component, like, you know, you've got a full-on past. And he's like, he literally, so Craig, what do you mean? So, well, you know, I was there when stuff was, you've told me basically everything. Like, he's like, oh, right. No, I was a different guy. Now, my first thought was, oh, he's bottling. He wasn't. The redemptive love of Jesus brings you, just ask Jazz how that department goes. Like, it's all good. God brings redemption. God brings restoration. So if you're in this place and things have happened, God is the great restorer. All right, this is my second last point. We're almost done. Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
How's the keyboard going? Stephen's trying. Need a bit of sound for the keyboard. That'd be awesome. Like it happens semi-often, hey? All right, sex is nuclear. Okay? Sex is nuclear. Someone say nuclear. Hey, there it is. There it is. Enrico Fermi, an Italian physicist, led a team of scientists who created the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction in 1942. This is because of that show, Chernobyl. I bought it for Dad. It's a good show. It's pretty full on. After they created this reaction, they were like, well, we need somewhere to store radioactive material and uranium because this could cause devastation, which if you see the show Chernobyl, it's hard to say, you'll realize that it can cause widespread devastation. So they created something, which is going to come up on the screen, called dry cast storage. Dry cast storage is safe for people and the environment. Cast systems are designed to contain radiation, manage heat, hello, prevent nuclear fission. They must resist earthquakes, projectiles, tornadoes, floods, temperature extremes, and other scenarios. One of the most devastating things on the planet has a storage system that can contain it. Sex has a dry cast storage container, but it only has one, biblical marriage. I don't need to sit up here and tell you about the damage sex taken out of context can cause. Many of you know better than I do what it can do. This is why God has his laws. He loves us, friend. It breaks his heart when he sees us take sex outside of that container. It breaks his heart when he sees other people take it out and maybe do things to us, but we have free will, different sermon, different time. But we need to make sure that we keep sex in that container, because uranium in a power plant can provide electricity to a city. But outside of that, it can cause major, major issues. Can I tell you in all love that porn is the wrong container? Homosexuality is the wrong container. Changing your biological gender is the wrong container. Heavy petting and grinding at 12 a.m. because it's not sex and I'll marry her soon anyway, even though I'm on worship in the morning, is the wrong container. Intercourse because marriage seems far away is the wrong container. Sex with someone who isn't your spouse is the wrong container. I don't want to be heavy. I don't want to make you feel lesser than. I want you to be, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But can we, as the church, can we please live different? I'm a little bit over, if I'm honest. I've been in the youth young adult space a long time. I'm a bit over a high percentage of young adults just going, that's the past, that's old school. I'm just going to do what I want. And then, of course, you've got to be there when it all blows up, and that's fine because that's what we're called to as believers. But I'm sick of seeing people have radioactive fallout in their soul and go through pain and hurt. We don't have to. We don't have to. I'm almost done. You know, the same water that was in Wivenhoe Dam that gave us life, plumbing, irrigation in January 2022 caused devastation, destruction, and loss of income and loss of life in March 2022. Something that can bring life in one container, when it's released from that container, can cause devastation. You know, me and Anna didn't take sex out of the container when we were dating. But we had a peek inside. Popped the lid open. Just for the first couple of months. Then it was like, oh, what are we doing? It was so annoying, actually. We've been dating too much. Is it okay? Can I just be honest? Are we allowed to do that? Great. Been dating a couple months and I was feeling so good, which, I mean, obviously I was dating Anna, so I was like, woo. And I listened to this sermon by Judah Smith called Dating Delilah, and it was so annoying because he literally starts his sermon, he starts talking, and then he just starts talking about, like, hey, I want to speak to some Christian young leaders in this place. I'm like in the car on the way to the office. I'm like, oh yeah, cool, great. I worked at an office back then. And Judah just off the rip just goes, can I just talk about, like, rubbing through jeans isn't what we want to do as believers when you're... And he just starts listing, like, everything I'd been doing. I was like, God's speaking to Judah Smith about me. Which technically means me and Judah are friends. Come on, man. Let's not push the boundary. Hey, can I tell you, you got this. You do have this. I know the feeling. Go for a run. Have a cold shower. Call someone. Go see a movie. Do what you got to do. You got this. You are not subject to those feelings. You are not subject. They're hard. It's intense. Sometimes it makes your brain go a bit foggy. You got this. Get some help. Go for a run. Do what you got to do. All right, last point. I'm done. I've got 2 minutes. I'm going to use all two. Don't trade God's promise for the devil's soup. Don't trade God's promise for the devil's soup. The devil is desperate for you to think God's good is not enough. What he does is he tries to make you do silly things by giving you unholy FOMO. Oh, but what if it's not that great? Maybe I should sleep around it. Can we talk about this? What if, you know, that's what he did in the garden, right? They had it made in the shade. They were eating apples. They were riding lions. They were having healthy marital sex under the cool of the coolabah tree, man. Like, it was all good. And Satan came along and said, God's holding out on you. Can I be so honest with you? When I was going into marry Anna, my carnal mind was thinking that. Man, like, just one for my whole life. One sexual partner. God replied and was like, my kiddo, you would be so lucky. Are you kidding me? But we think that way. Hey, can I tell you, do not trade your treasure for a try. Don't do it. Genesis 25, 34, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. I know I've got a lot of scripture, but it's good. Swear to me first, Jacob said. So Esau swore to Jacob and sold him the birthright Then Jacob gave some bread and lentil stew to Esau, who ate and drank and then got up and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Bit of context there. There's two brothers. The older has the birthright. And what happens is he comes in and there's some stew cooking. There's some lentil soup, yo. A bit of sourdough bread, a bit of crusty, you know, Vienna. Let's go. And Esau is like, I'm hungry. And then he goes, he probably could have been like, hey, Jacob, I'll give you like one of my jackets. He's like, you can have everything. I'm hungry. It's what we do, right? We hold out, we do our thing, and then we really want to have sex. We really want to go on that website. And we're like, hey, I'm going to sell my birthright. I'm hungry. It says in the passage there, it despised his birthright. It's what is it saying? He had contempt for it. Friend, don't have contempt for your purity. Don't have contempt for it. It's precious. Guys, I'm talking to you too. When I was growing up, it was a bit like girls and it was all, no. Your purity is precious. And if you're in this place, you're like, Fred, I'm not pure. You don't know. It starts tonight. Your purity starts tonight. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. All right, finishing. Ben, if you could come join me. Can I be real with you? I still, 8 years married, been with Anna 11 years. I still smell soup. I still smell soup, man. The other day I was on Instagram, flicking through stories. There was a young lady who used to be a believer who's walked away from the Lord, and she's doing a TikTok or something, and it's very revealing, and it's all in milliseconds, right? But I was like, oh man, I smell soup. I would love to absorb that and watch that and then just quick tap back and watch it again because the curves are all in the right places. Can we talk about it? But I didn't, of course. I threw my phone into the furnace. No, I didn't. But I was like, oh man, keep moving, because you can build up habits, right? I was preaching in Melbourne 2 years ago, and I preached at a young adults conference, and I went back to the Oaks hotel thing, and I walked in, and there was a very attractive blonde girl sitting at the counter, and she said, hey, Pastor Fred, great word. And I was like, that's weird. It's like 10 o'clock and I was just at a thing. And she's like, oh, I was at the conference. I recently got saved. I work here. I came and great word. So good. I was like, thank you so much. And went to go and she said, hey, completely innocently, I believe, do you want to go and grab some food? Because there was a restaurant attached to the thing. I'd love to talk more about your story. And keep in mind, I'm not saying she was, but I smelled soup. And that's more about me than her. Because she was probably totally fine. But I did a bit of a Corey Turner. I went, I just have already eaten and just see you at conference. Bye. The smell of soup's not going to go away just because you're married. You might have the best sex life on earth. The devil is still a liar. He'll try and trip you up. He's got no new plays in the book. Form habits. Control your eyes. If you can't handle going to the beach at the moment because every bikini's a G-string, don't go to the beach at the moment. Your calling and your conviction is more important than comfort. Do what you got to do, friend. All right, going to read from Romans. We can put it on the screen just because it's a long passage. We're going to finish with this. Why don't we stand for the reading of the word? Because I know that this topic and this thing is really hard to kick. It is. It's really, really hard, especially when you're down, especially when you're hurting. And I've read this passage before, but it's actually what my youth leader, Jeremy Cake, showed me when he was helping me get free of those websites. He would get me just to read this all the time, and credit to him because it worked. It's the apostle writing, and it says this, but I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide to not do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Is anyone feeling this? My goodness, something has gone very wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly, it's predictable. Gentlemen, right? The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's command. We're not talking about bad people, we're talking about broken people. But it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Isn't that beautiful? That was me when I got saved. It's like my entire recommitted. My entire being was for God, but it's like this one area just covertly rebelled. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer, someone say no longer, have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Thank you. Someone give Jesus a shout of praise. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.